Blog Talk Radio.
Prophetic Sound Podcast. Pray for your mind, pray for your soul. On Prophetic Sound Podcast, it's uplifting. God is willing on Prophetic Sound Podcast. Come on, let's praise him like this. All on one accord, and what you hear, 'cause it's uplifting. God is willing on Prophetic Sound Podcast.
Welcome, 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 and greetings from Prophetic Wind Ministries. I am Prophetess Letitia Smith, and this is the Prophetic Sound Podcast. We are so excited to have you. Welcome to the fam. We are blessed to be here on this special night. Amen. You know, there is a panting and a need in the heart of God's people to just receive more and more of him daily. He says that he gives us daily benefits. He's here to satisfy. He's here to fill you. He's here to make up the difference in your life. Come on. Holy Spirit is a game changer. You may have thought you were in your last inning and you were about to lose this game, but the Lord says, no, I'm coming in with a pinch hit, and I'm not even a baseball fan, so thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. But, you know, there is more that God wants to do. And A.W. Tozer said this, "Oh, God, my heart pants for thee, as David of old did. I long to know thee in all the beauty of thy self-revelation and in all of thy perfection. The way into thy heart may be difficult and treacherous, but I can bear the difficulties as long as I discover in them the fullness of thy character and their nature." Amen. And so the Lord wants to deliver that to us on tonight. He wants us to have the fullness of his character, the fullness of his nature, the fullness of his revelatory knowledge. Hallelujah. We are here pouring out ourselves upon the Lord like a drink offering. And I am so excited to know that there is nothing that God cannot do, has not already foreseen. He is on the scene. I want to give honor to my husband who could not be here tonight, to Apostle Marcus Smith, my rock and my completion. I thank God for him. I thank God for the Prophetic Wind Ministry team. You know, we are here doing what God wants us to do. Amen. I thank God that this is a season where we're getting rid of all the extra fluff. We're shedding in the book of Revelations, the Lord says that the fat belongs to the Lord. We're shedding all that extra fat in the things of God, and we're getting streamlined into the plans and the purposes of God for this season. Amen. And so tonight I want to welcome my dear friends and my guests of the hour, Apostle Brian and Prophetess Penny Carroll. God bless you, man and woman of God. How are you this evening?
Good evening. We are doing well.
We are doing. Can you hear us okay? Is the volume
yes,
okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. We're doing good.
We are excited to be on your podcast tonight. So we want to thank you, Prophetess Letitia, and also thank you to your husband, Apostle Smith, for having us on your show tonight.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Well, let me just introduce the people to you guys a little bit. So Apostle Brian and Prophetess Penny Carroll both have emerged with an apostolic grace, a heavy prophetic gifting to help believers identify their gifts and their callings. Amen. Activation. Praise God. Have been commissioned by God to speak to the regions and nations with boldness, restoration, edification, advancement. Apostle. And worship, dance, movement, creative artistry, and paint. You know, the one thing I can say about this man and woman of God is every time we have spoken, every time we have been in the midst of each other, it is like family. They are just some of the most genuine individuals I have met, and that is just such a blessing and a refresher in the body of believers. And so tonight I've asked them to come on, speak a little bit, talk a little bit. We're going to have a conversation. Amen. And at this time I'm going to give them the floor and let them just release what God has put on their heart, and then we'll do a little Q&A and whatever else God has led us to do. God bless you guys.
Once again, we want to say thank you to Apostle Smith and Prophetess Letitia Smith for the podcast tonight. We want to talk a little bit about dreams and visions and the prophetic and a prophetic movement, a prophetic dance. And one of the things why, me specifically, why I wanted to talk about dreams and visions, because that's one of the passions that I have. And I see there's a lot of error that's going on, especially in the areas of dreams and visions when it comes to having the proper interpretation and understanding of the communication within our dreams. And we have to understand when it comes to dreams, dreams are a succession of images, ideas, emotions, sensations that usually occur involuntarily during certain stages of sleep. So we have to understand as well that when we're talking about dreams and visions, they are a form of communication that God used to speak. So we have to understand there's different ways in which God chooses to speak. He may speak to us through his word. He may speak to us through a prophet or a prophetic person. He may speak to us through nature. He may speak through us through our everyday routine, if we're paying attention. So again, we have to understand dreams and visions are forms in which God chooses to communicate to us, not just his people, but he communicates to everybody. And we can look in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. So basically, I like to use that scripture a lot, because a lot of times people say, well, if it's not coming from a prophet, then I can't receive it. Or you have it also on the same spectrum where the prophet is saying, if I didn't release it from me, then that's not a true prophetic word. So this right here is telling us that, yeah, God spoke in past times directly through the prophets to speak to people. But today, in our time, this time, he's speaking to us directly. That means he's going to use those same methods or those same types of communication styles that he used in past times to speak directly to the prophets. He's speaking directly to us through our dreams and visions, through a prophetic word that he'll give us, through our meditation, reading the scripture. So now we're talking about visions. Visions is the faculty of or state of being able to see. It's an experience of seeing someone or something in a dreamlike state. And I want you to understand, it's a dreamlike state. It's not a dream. It's something that you imagine, a picture that you see in your mind. It's the ability to think about or plan about the future. It's imagination. It's using your imagination with wisdom. That's what a vision is. You know, a lot of times when I teach on dreams and visions, one of the number one questions that I get is, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? So in most cases, dreams reveal God's plan. Dreams reveal his nature. Now, there are times when your dreams will reveal God's nature and your vision will reveal his plan. And it is also likely impossible where you'll have a dream and a vision at the same time. Will it reveal both his plan and his nature? So when you're talking about God's plan, that's his will, his strategy, his mind, his counsel, his formula, his method of doing things. And we're talking about the nature of God in visions, we have to understand his nature. What is his nature? It's the same as his distinguishing quality or characteristic. God is sovereign. He's holy. He's love. So those are some of the things or cues that you can look through when you're looking at, is my dream or is my vision revealing God's plan or his nature? We have to understand what his plan is and what his nature is. And there's some other distinguishing qualities or qualifiers between dreams and visions. In most cases, a dreamer will actively be involved in the dream, and then sometimes they will not see themselves but know that they're a part of the dream based on the activities within the dream. Now, when it comes to visions, the visions are somewhat similar, but the person that's having the vision will see or observe themselves actively engaged in the activities within the vision. We also have to understand when it comes to dreams, dreams are more symbolic. They're symbolic in nature. And also when we get the interpretation from dreams, we have to understand that interpretation is subjective just as well as the dream is subjective.
Awesome. Now, Pastor,
so we talked about
right
dreams
there.
And visions. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to interject right there. So if we have, let's say we have an individual who is new to all of this. So they're just experiencing dreams and visions. They're just really getting in the flow of hearing God's voice for themselves and having an understanding that God is speaking to them in this way. How do you encourage those people to cultivate that gifting and to be able to bring depth into that gifting as they are growing in the things of God?
That's a great question. And what I would offer as encouragement to that person is to always write it down. And if you're a person like me who loves sleeping, sleep with your phone by your, you know, on your bedpost or something where you can actually record what you were dreaming or the vision that you had. That way, you'll have some evidence of what, you know, the communication is. And then take that evidence and ask God first. Pray to him, talk to him, and say, I don't understand his dream. I'm new to my, you know, the salvation. And from what I'm learning, I know you talk to people. Are you talking to me in my dream? And if you are, let me know what you're saying. And believe me, God wants to talk to his people. And he will tell you because he is the giver of dreams. He's the giver of visions. So I would encourage them to make sure they write it down or record it and ask him first. Always ask him first. And if they're still struggling with communication, I would say get to someone that they know that's reliable, that hear God, that hear God properly, and who they have allowed God to speak into their lives. To get that person and say, look, I'm challenged with this. This was my dream. This was my vision. And I'm challenged with hearing God correctly or I'm not hearing him at all. Can you help me understand what this communication means?
Amen. That's so good, because I do get a lot of correspondence from different believers who are really new to the idea of I can hear God. You know, I'm not crazy. God is speaking to me, you know. So just being able to utilize those tools to be able to encourage them in the growth and the development of those skills is, I think, pivotal for all leaders right now, because we really do have a hunger in the body of believers that's growing, I believe, in what I'm seeing, that is really growing. And we have a lot of young Christians that are coming in that don't have that understanding, but they do know, hey, I'm experiencing this, or this thing that, you know, these things are happening, and how do I, you know, in a biblically sound way, cultivate. And so thank you, sir, for answering that. I just wanted to make sure we address that, because I really believe that this is going to be a season of the dreams and the visions. And so I want people to have a good understanding of how God speaks to us in that way.
Great. Thank you. That was a great question. I also want to add, too, with that is I want to caution people, especially the new believers, to if they decide to investigate the communication and they turn to books or, you know, other books that say offer interpretation, I want to caution them, because 9 times out of 10, what I found out in doing my research and in writing my book on dreams and visions is that a lot of the interpretation that we find in these in dream interpretation books, they have one interpretation specific for that particular thing. So if I had a dream that had a lot of imagery or a lot of color, like the color blue, and I would go to that dream interpretation book and look up the color blue, and they would give me that interpretation of what it means. And then I have another dream, but it's a total different dream, but I still have the color blue in it. And I would think, okay, so because I looked it up the last time, so this is what it means. We have to understand, be cautious about getting those books, because just because you see the color blue in two or more of your dreams doesn't mean it's going to have the same meaning. Just like if you have a lot of imagery that may seem similar or alike in other dreams that you may have currently have, doesn't mean that same communication is going to apply to that current dream. So that's one of the things that I want to caution people about.
Yeah, that's good, because I personally have purchased books. You know, when you're working or not working, when you're ministering and you have this desire to be part of what we call the creative arts, and I was, you know, very beginning, very early in my time in ministry and getting an understanding of what this creative art is and this dance and pageantry. And, you know, some of the conferences that I attended really relied and depend on certain or recommended certain books that had the explanation of different imagery, different colors, and those kind of things. And so it really took me a while to get into a place to understand that the prophetic is really dimensional. And there's just so many dimensions to the prophetic and the understanding. But, you know, being new, being fresh, being excited, I was just grasping at anything, you know, anything that was so different, because I personally came from a very denominational background. But, you know, Prophetess, you mentioned, you know, there's going to be some people who, what about those who are unchurched? See, my thing was, I was churched, so I had to reprogram my mind had to be renewed and reprogrammed from a lot of the erroneous teachings that I received in the past to get try to get understanding. Is this what the Holy Spirit said? You know, is it? So, you know, it's really an ongoing level of growing. that happens. It's just ongoing.
You know, that is so good, because I know early in my walk, it's crazy. I was churched as a kid, then I had a time of backsliddingness that was off the charts. Then I come back to the Lord and realize that a lot of the giftings I had hadn't went anywhere. But the blessed thing of that was is I come back and now all of a sudden I'm having these dreams, I'm having these visions, I'm having these correspondence with the Lord, and unfortunately it was crickets on where do I turn, how do I, and then you start searching. And in that searching, look, there's going to be good, bad, and indifferent in the search. So that's why I really wanted to touch on that, because I have seen people who they end up searching and we end up in the wrong valleys, right? We're gleaning from the wrong places. Or you have people that search and find themselves in areas they're not prepared for. And then you have people who search and then get discouraged because they're just, they're not finding what they need. And so my husband and I always say, the first place you go is to your knees, right? After that, the Word says that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. So it there is this need, I believe, for a sound platform that people who are experiencing these things can learn in safety and in truth. And so, like you said, Prophetess, you went to these conferences and they're recommending these things. Look, I had a book that I recommended for years because everybody else recommended it, right? And then all of a sudden, right, God hit me with this revelation, and I realized, where's the source of this coming from? And I started doing some research and found out that this is not the source I want to be tapped into, So
right.
You learn, right? You learn, you grow, you are developed by the Holy Spirit. But since we're here and we're talking about it, how wonderful it is to possibly keep someone else from finding themselves shipwrecked in an area because they are in their season of maturing and growing and are searching for answers in these areas.
That is really good. One of our goals too, you had mentioned about the sound platform. That's one of our goals is to develop that platform and continue to partner with you all as well, because I do a lot of coaching when it comes to dreams and visions in the prophetic. And what I've discovered, not just through the coaching, but through my research and talking to people, they are having dreams and they're having visions, but they don't know who to turn to. So they turn to social media and they get all these comments and so much wrong direction. I know I had one person who had a dream and they shared it with me because the interpretation that they got from someone else, they were stressed out about it. They felt like if they followed the dream or the interpretation, they would be going the opposite direction from where God wanted them to go. So they didn't act on it. They came to me and asked me, could I help them? And whenever I do help someone with the understanding of communication from their dreams and visions, my first question is always to that person, did you ask God first? I ask that question because I don't want anybody to put me in a place of God or put me in a place of a soothsayer or a psychic. So I want them to go to God first. And if that person says no, I turn them away and say, go talk to God first. Now, there have been times when the Holy Spirit would stop me and I would help that person with the understanding, but not with the full understanding. I would say, okay, there's more that God wants to reveal to you. You need to go and seek him out for what he wants to say.
Wow.
And that really puts us in a It puts us, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're fine.
I was just going to say that puts us in a place of really relying and depending on him. It just puts us in a, I don't want to use the word practice, but it just, what's a good word for that? I don't want to
say. Development.
Develops us. There it is. An area of development that, you know, I have to speak for myself. I'm still growing in, still understanding, but it just allows us to depend on him first.
Amen. Amen to that. Okay. Well, I'm going to let you continue on with the teaching. I just wanted to take some time to, you know, to glean from what you were speaking about and, you know, and to try to unpack it a little bit. But please continue, and we'll continue on with our conversation.
Sure.
Amen.
So I wanted to highlight prophetic dreams. When I was talking about dreams and visions, that was on a basic level. So we're talking about prophetic dreams. A prophetic dream is one in which God is speaking. He's communicating. He's communicating something, and it may not necessarily regard future events. Prophetic dreams also have a lot of imagery, different sequence, and oftentimes they may be reoccurring. So we have to understand, too, dreams and visions have played an important role in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So there was in Genesis chapter 15, during a dream that God revealed to Abraham the history of his descendants in about the 400-year Egyptian captivity. Daniel understood the interpretation of dreams and was able to escape death from Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. In the New Testament, Joseph was told to accept Mary as his wife and accept the child Jesus. In Matthew 1, you know, the wise men, they were delivered from going to expose where Jesus was through a dream. And then even today, specifically in our modern time, Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, "I have a dream that one day, you know, on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together." Now, we can see this happening, even though what's going on in current events is happening, we still can see some progress through what Dr. Martin Luther King has stated. And I want to throw this out there, too. What he and I've gotten some backlashes, but I've proven my point on this as well. What Dr. Martin Luther King had, it wasn't a dream. It was a vision. The vision, what he saw, because it's actually happening. And then you look at Abraham Lincoln. He had a dream about a vision about his mother, and it actually came true. Look at in 1920, a Canadian surgeon, he had a dream, and he developed the insulin for diabetes. The sinking of the Titanic, there were like over 19 people who had a vision about the Titanic sinking, and they didn't get on it, and they lived. So I want you to know dreams and visions is very important. During my research, I also learned, too, that the government has spent over $32 million on trying to understand dreams and visions.
Wow.
That was just in the year 2018. Can you imagine how much they're spending today in 2020? And if I could get a hold of somebody and let them know that I have the answer, I can share the answer of understanding the communication of dreams and visions. They can get me to $32 million.
Right. Right.
Amen. I would contribute. I'd be part of the team on that.
That's right.
So while we're talking about dreams and visions too, you know, there's three sources that can influence our dreams. The three sources are God, demonic influence, or the flesh, or what I like to call our soul. Now, when we're talking about God, dreams and visions come from God. These dreams and visions give direction, understanding, encouragement, comfort, and guidance. When you're talking about demonic influence, that's something that's showing that we don't, it'll provide that we don't trust God. It allows our mind to think on and produce negativity. We'll be not actively involved with deliverance. We won't meditate on God's word. And when you have a dream that's demonically influenced, what it does, it haunts you. It brings torment, not just in your sleeping moments, but also in your waking moments, because those dreams haunt us. How many times have you all just listening had a dream perhaps about your wife or your husband, and you woke up and looking at them with the evil eye like, and you throughout the day like, wait a minute, why am I mad at them? Because it was just a dream, that dream, because somewhere along the line, we allowed the enemy to come in and influence us in that communication. And then there's the area of the flesh or the soul's realm. And we have to understand when we're talking about the soul, we're talking about our will, our mind, and our emotions. So those three areas that develops our soul can be affected in our dreams, our will, our mind, and our emotions.
I know one of the things that you were talking, and there may be, I'm sure there may be someone still trying to get that understanding between the difference between a dream and a vision. And I believe that we're so influenced by what we see. Television has been a big influence, movies and films and other aspects of media has been a big influence. How, you know, what is the difference, you know, how do you explain the difference between the two? Because you mentioned about, you know, if you're sitting somewhere and you have a vision, or you're sitting somewhere when you sleep, can you be asleep and have a vision? Can you be awake and have a dream? I mean, these are things that, you know, is there a fine line between the two? How do you, you know, help people understand what's going on with them? Can you have a dream and a vision at the same time, simultaneously? You know.
Yeah, that's a great question. It is very likely, and through my research and even coaching, speaking with people, what I've discovered is a lot of times people are not dreaming; they're having a lot of visions. And they ask, well, how is it possible that I'm having a vision while I'm sleeping? It's very, very possible. I can't remember the scripture, but I'll post something on Facebook about the scripture where you can find it. But it was Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, and even Daniel. He had a dream while he was a vision while he was sleeping. So he started off with the dream and it went to a vision. And that's why I say it's very important in these times when we don't really understand whether we think it's a dream because we're sleeping. We have to ask God first, and asking him, he will reveal to us whether it was a dream or a vision. And in that revelation, he'll also provide the communication and understanding to that dream or to that vision.
Now, I don't know. I looked it up. Is it Daniel chapter 2? Now, this is the NIV version. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and
yes,
he could not sleep. He said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Tell your servants the dream. and we will interpret it. Now, that's out of the NIV version.
Right. That's one of the ones where Daniel interpreted his dream. But if you read further on, you'll see where he had a dream, and then it went to a vision as well. But those are the places, yes.
Okay, Daniel 2. Daniel starts off in Daniel. I just read Daniel chapter 2.
Amen. And that's so good because that also shows that the Lord speaks to pretty much everyone. You know, a lot of people feel that he can't speak to me. I'm not the great prophet. He can't speak to me because I'm not the great apostle. But it's so encouraging to know that the word says that that his sheep hear his voice and know the voice where they follow. There is a voice of God that speaks to his children in this hour, and there is no barrier between you and your God. The veil is torn. He is ready to communicate. He is ready to instruct, give direction. We just have to be in tune and have an understanding of how he speaks and how that is manifested in our lives, correct?
That is correct, yes. And, you know, with that was a part of my teaching, too. I did a research and did it and put it in my book, too, and I called it Debunking the Myths or False Teachings About Dreams and Visions. And that was one of the ones, the points that you mentioned, that God wants to speak. He wants to speak to his people. And not only that, he speaks to everybody, those who are not church, those who ran away from the church, who are, you know, not going to church anymore or hate the church and hate the people in the church. God is still speaking to everybody, but we have to be on that same frequency to understand and know the difference, whether it's from him, whether it's demonically influenced, or if it's coming from our soul.
Amen.
You know, one of the
Amen.
Things,
yeah,
too,
go on the source.
Yes. You know, one of the things, too, that I've found out, too, when I help people and encourage them to discover what God is saying through their dreams and visions, the first principle I release to them, and I've shared it before, is always, always ask God first for the interpretation, because he is the giver of all communication, especially when you know, in dreams and visions. Second one is knowing that, and a lot of people struggle with this, but I've proven this point as well, that 99.99% of the dreams that we all have. Now, I really want everybody to hear this clearly. 99.99% of the dreams that we have are about us, the dreamer. They're not about the characters that we see in the dream, about anything else. They're all about us. And the visions that we have, the visions could be for the one that's having the vision as well as those characters within the vision. Now, that 0.01% that's left over from the 99.99%, those dreams could be possibly influenced by demons, or it's because of our undelivered mindset, which is our soul. The third principle that I want to release too is that every person, place, thing in a dream could be a reference to the dreamer. And the fourth one is to pay attention to the context of the dream and know that the dream will tell a story, and we have to look at the symbols and make sure they're all fitting together to understand the message. And again, most people who appear in our dreams, they are symbolic, and at times they're even a representation of the dreamer. And one of the things that I challenge people with too, they often share, well, I had a dream about my dead relative, and they were saying this. What I do is I stop them and take the focus off the dead relative and say, tell me the entire dream, because we have to look at the entire dream to understand the entire communication. So we have to look at what else is the dream saying, and the dead relative was not coming back from the dead to sneak in your dream to give you a message. That's not the case. Because if that's the case, then you are practicing necromancer and don't even know it.
And I had a challenge. That challenged me because that's not something that you normally hear. I've always been a dreamer, not realizing that I was a dreamer. I had dreams about, just a lot of things. One dream was about people being pregnant, and God gave me this revelation about the pregnancy. There's obviously as I grew and matured and had a better understanding of revelation, he gave the revelation back to me about birthing different ministry gifts. And so, when Brian started researching and sharing some things with me as he was writing his book about dreams and visions, and I would listen to some of his teachings, I just like, wow. And then I said, I started to go back in the Word of God. I said, now let me just think about all the people that the Word of God talked about who had dreams. I said, what about Joseph? That's one of my favorites, Joseph. I love Joseph. I love the book of Joseph and his brothers and dreams and the reconciliation and all of that. I love it. I've watched the movies, although the movies are not exactly what the Word of God says, but I like to watch the movies of Joseph and all of that. And it was about him. The dreams that he had, it went back to Joseph. So I was looking, as you were talking, I was looking, still reading through Daniel, in the book of Daniel, and I think I'm still in chapter 2, kind of down around chapter 2, verse 26-27. And it's interesting, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries.
Yes.
God is like, yes. God wants to reveal the mysteries to us. He wants to reveal them to us. And I think sometimes we don't feel worthy enough for God. God wants to tell me a mystery? Yes. And then the Word of God continues to say, this is in verse 28, he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dreams and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And then he went on to tell them about the dreams and the visions. And so I was like, wow. It just, so much revelation and understanding in that. But, yeah, that was something that when Brian shared that was several years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He shared that. He said, it's not about this. It's not about this. I was like, I'm thinking I'm dreaming and I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Oh, well, I had a dream about that and that's not going to. It's really a fine line between, it says in the Word of God that magicians, diviners, mediums, we got the medium television shows are out now.
Right.
All of this stuff. That's not the divine of God.
Correct.
But, that's why I wanted to also, you had asked earlier about, a new believer. I want to throw it out there, to new believers and even to those who are mature or seasoned to be cautious, because we still have prophets today who are interpreting dreams and visions based on current events or based on their own perception. And this is really dangerous because these false interpretations have led people to leave their wife, their husband, leave their ministry, give up their job. And we have to really, really be cautious about, receiving an interpretation or understanding the communication from other people without seeking wise, godly counsel from God or from other those that are appointed in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. I also find, I think everyone's degree of of dreaming and having visions, it's not the same, right? Everybody has, you know, like if somebody who is walking in the office versus someone who God is just speaking to, it may be a little more similistic than an individual who God is trying to tell of events that are going to happen, things like that. So I think that's another reason why we have to have a degree of understanding of, like Prophet said, I thought I knew that I knew that I knew, right? So that's why we have to have a degree of understanding of what God is saying, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I also, too, like to encourage people when I'm talking to them as well, to let them know God speaks to you where you are. He's not going to speak to you as if you are a student in third grade and he's a college professor. That's not how God operates. If you're in the third grade, he's going to be a teacher in the third grade that's going to teach you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. So in other words, if you're not fully in the maturity, you've not been in the kingdom of God, you've not been in ministry very long, he's going to just minister you right where you are.
Exactly.
Right at the maturity level that you are.
Yes. And, you know, speaking about that word of maturity, we have to also understand, too, when we're talking about gifts, you know, understand the communication of dreams and visions. Excuse me. That's an ability. But we're talking about, we had mentioned prophet. Being a prophet is a gift. And the gift, it's not office, it's a gift.
Okay.
So we got that mixed up too. We call it an office, but it's not an office. It's a gift. And I'm saying this because in Ephesians 4:7, it talks about how he gave gifts. He didn't give offices. He gave gifts to men, and one of those gifts was a prophet. And I'm mentioning this because perhaps there are people that's listening that may have been called as a prophet or any other gift, apostle or teacher, evangelist, you know, or even in the ministry of health. We have to understand the gifts that was given to us are given to us for a purpose, but it's up to us to mature to the gift. The gift doesn't have to be mature. And I've heard this so many times, you know, especially dealing with dreams and visions and even in the prophetic where, you know, people have said, well, I was told that I have to allow my gift to mature or I have to allow my office to mature. And I would correct them because that's so wrong. God he's given you a gift. Jesus gave you a gift. And if the gift had to mature, then that would say that there's something wrong with Jesus. You don't give somebody an imperfect gift. You give them a complete gift. That means they have to accept it and unwrap it. So the gift is already matured. It is what it is. We have to mature to the gift.
We have to develop.
Yes, we have to be developed to the gift. Now, I'm very passionate, especially when it comes to prophetic ministry. It's just one of my passions because I love prophetic ministry. I love when prophets minister and prophetic people minister, and just because you hear God speak.
Mm-hmm.
You hear God speak. I've heard so many people say, I don't want to hear another prophet, and I don't believe they understand what they're saying. When we say that, we're saying we don't want to hear God speak. You know, so one of the questions I had along with the dreams and visions, it flows in the area too, is prophecy or prophetic still, do it have a future? Do prophecy have a future?
Mm-hmm.
do we have a future? That means the prophetic dreams or visions that we have, do that have a future? Do the ministry of the prophet or prophetic people, is there a future in it?
I believe there is. There's, you know, anywhere there's hope, there's future. Anywhere there's encouragement, there's future, edification. It's all part of the. I know there's another word for future, but yes, to answer your question, for me, I do believe, and it's infinite. I mean, there's so much that God wants to give us that I think our minds just have not caught up to what God wants us to receive by Him.
Amen.
That's just my thought.
And I also would agree. I believe we have an ample future. And I also see the prophetic gifting moving into a place of bringing restoration and reformation all at the same time. And really speaking into the destinies of people so that they can take the vision and run with it. I think that we are more than in a place of having a very strong future.
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to ask Prophet Penny, so when it comes to releasing the prophetic dance, I mean, in the midst of the moment, are you listening to God, or has it something that you know, you had a vision of yourself doing and you just get out there and do it? Or, you know, are you providing the interpretation of what he's saying? What's going on?
That's a loaded question.
I know it is, right?
That is so loaded. You know, first you have to, for those who do not know what prophetic is, I know that our time is drawing really close, but, you know, it's you know, movement that speaks the word of God. It's movement that declares his word. To answer your question, it's really a combination of it all. Sometimes more so for me, and every dance minister that ministers in the prophetic, I'm sure receives different dimensions of communication, but the primary communication that I receive through God when I move is not a vision of movement before I see it, but just hearing him, and kind of it's a yielding. It's just like releasing a prophetic word. You yield and then you release. It's the same thing with the movement. It's a yielding. So there's not much difference. The only thing difference is that I'm doing the movement. And so I used to see things and like, well, you know, if I move this way, or if I may have a vision or a thought about, because I use a lot of props. When I say props, I use props and imageries to give even a fuller or more in-depth or more deeper understanding of what God is speaking. I may have an anchor. I may use different color fabric, you know, we use flags, you know, I just call them props just to be just in general. He gives me those types of visions as relates to what I'm going to use in that capacity. But, yeah, that's pretty loaded. And it's still, the ministry of dance, prophetic dance is still up and cutting. People say, well, we've been doing prophetic dance for a while. We haven't. I mean, look at the word of God. Miriam prophesied, you know, the dance. But was it fully understood? And so now that we're in New Testament, we're in the kingdom, it's taken a different, I just want to use, you know, it's just, it can just go into different dimensions. And it's a, you know, I also believe that there's a reconciliation in the dance. There's healing in the dance. There's intercession. I didn't realize how much intercession that goes into the prophetic dance that I was doing until I was just sitting down. I got done, and he said, that was intercession. You were interceding in that movement. And I was like, oh, you know. So there's just so much to understand. I'm still learning. I'm still learning and I'm still understanding what it all entails, because it just, it's so different. Someone would see me minister in one place and I may get invited somewhere and they want to see that exact same dance that was done. And you can't, you know, so I'm sorry, that's not even the song God wants me to do. You know, I mean, it's such a yielding type of ministry. You're led by the Spirit, and that's what makes it hard, sometimes challenging for some people when they're doing that. So I don't know if that answered your question. I was trying to answer it in five minutes.
It did. Just two points before we go. I know what you're saying about someone asking you to minister that exact same dance, because that's like come and prophesy those same words that you prophesy.
Exactly.
And come to my church and prophesy. Right. That's like a regurgitation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other thing too, and I'm sure you would agree with me as well, in the area of dreams and visions and also with the prophetic and prophetic movement and dance, that in order for it to really be called prophetic, it has to have the three qualifiers. It has to be edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Yeah.
And without those three qualifiers, whether you're saying that it's a prophetic dream or prophetic vision, a prophetic movement or dance, it's not prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dance.
Yeah.
It's not prophetic. It's just a dream. It's not prophetic. It's just a vision.
Amen.
Wow, that is good. That is good, and it brings everything into focus. Absolutely, it brings everything into focus, right? Because I think we've all seen a lot, and it seems like everything for a while was slapped with a prophetic sticker on it. But not necessarily prophetic, right? So so that is so good for there to be a check and balance system, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Apostle, for that.
Amen.
So, amen.
Well, this is an hour. We want to, anything final you want to say, close on?
No, I wanted to be respectful of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you're fine. I booked a little more than an hour, so we're good. But I will say this.
Oh, okay.
yeah, I kind of knew. I felt it in my, you know, in my antenna. But you know, the things of God are so important, and that reverence of the things of God is so important. And this is just something that I'm picking up in the spirit as we're talking, that dreams, visions, the dance, the sound, all of these things in this hour are the equivalent of what they called the holy vessels in the temple, right? So we're looking at these gifts, and God is blessing the people with these gifts, and they are what makes the temple holy. So I do want to hit on this because I just feel it in my spirit. How important is for the vessels that are being used in these ways to be pouring out and operating in holiness?
That is
an excellent question. But the reason why I'm saying that is because, especially for the young people that are listening in, I have a lot of young people that listen in, and it's kind of like, oh, we love Jesus, but we don't have to do all that. Well, no, there's something called holiness that we still have to abide by. And, well, mercy covers a multitude, yeah, but we still have to live holy, right? So how do we encourage the young people to allow God to use them in their gifts, but have an understanding that we can't come before God willy-nilly, because we are ministers to him first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think that's that key point right there, which you ended with, is that we minister to him first. And I think that is something, for the lack of a better phrase, is a lost art. We have, even the matured or seasoned folks, have lost, the ability to minister, or have forgotten how to minister to God before the Holy Spirit, because we want to get up and minister with the current events. We want to get up and minister through our own perceptions. And we want to minister based off of something that we found out on social media, and we take it and run with it. So my offer to the young people and to the new believers, and even to the seasoned or matured believers, is that we have to get back to that place of ministering before the Lord. And not only that, we have to understand that when, the word of God says study to show thyself approved, that studying is not to get up to speak before man. That studying is for us. So that way, when we do come up against something that is contrary to what we've learned through his word, through the teaching and direction of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to stand. And then from that testimony, we can go before man and begin to say, no, I studied this, and this is what happened to me. It's a testimony of how God proved himself through this word, because I studied it, and he showed me, based on the actions that I took, he showed me that if I just stand on his word, that I won't be moved by the outside circumstances. I won't be moved by the current events. Why is that? Because he's always with me. He's there. His grace is sufficient for me. Why? Because I studied in his word, and I found out he just wasn't talking to the people that it was released then, but he's talking to the people now. So we have to understand, we have to get to that place to minister before God. And the other thing that I found out that is very, very important is that we have to be open to deliverance. Deliverance is key. And when I talk about deliverance, a lot of people think it's something that's spooky, strange, it's something that it was just for the Bible days. But no, deliverance is something that we should be participant in. Going through deliverance doesn't mean that our neck is going to turn around 100 times. It doesn't mean that we're going to roll on the floor and bark like dogs or throw up. It doesn't mean that. Basic deliverance is renewing our mind. Renewing our mind by the word of God. That means everything that we take in, everything that we study besides the word of God, we weigh it by the word of God. So if I'm studying psychology and it tells me something that disagrees, or how would I know that it disagrees with what I'm feeling? Like, oh, that don't sound right. The only way I can find out if that is not correct is I weigh it by the word of God. And the word of God is not just his written word. We have to understand, the word of God is just not his written word. The word of God is the word that comes to you when you are ministering before him. That's the word of God.
Yes. Yes. My God. Okay. Well,
We're still good.
I actually, to be honest, we still have an hour and 25 minutes still scheduled. We don't have to take all of that up, but yeah, we're good. I had a feeling we were going to go over, so I scheduled more time. So just we're good. I don't know about your guys' time crunch. I want to be respectful of that. My husband just came in though. He wanted to say something, so I want to give him a chance to speak.
Oh, praise God. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Apostle.
Well, good evening, man and woman of God. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good
to hear your voice.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for sharing the gift of God in you with us and with those that are going to be listening, those that are listening now. Now, one of the things I did want to speak on was when my wife was speaking about being holy, you know, about the ministers being holy. Back in the Old Testament, if you weren't holy going into the holy place, you die. And I think people need to understand the grace of God is sufficient, and the grace covers a multitude of sins. Well, where sin abounds, grace still does much more abound. But here's what the Lord said to me one day. He said, this gospel that we preach is for everyone, but it's not a gospel of inclusion. Love is the foundation, and holiness is still a requirement. Because he says in his word, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's not a question mark. That's a statement of fact. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And if we're going to serve a holy God, we have to be holy ourselves. And we have to understand that the holiness that God is talking about is not a holiness of works that we can earn. It's a holiness that is imputed to us through our relationship with him.
Amen. And he drops the mic. Okay, so. But, you know, the wonderful thing about being able to minister in those gifts and you know, I don't know if Prophet has told you, when we met, we ministered and danced together like we've known each other forever. But it was because we knew each other by the Spirit. And one of the things that I find when we're training up new worshipers, especially in the dance, there is a need to have that purged and purified life. You don't want to allow those things to kind of tap in, and now it's coming through your dance and it's coming over the people. You know what I mean? I have a young lady here that is very anointed. I mean, a very anointed young lady. And, you know, the Holy Spirit began to speak to her because she's young, and she was kind of mixing. Well, I'll just say it that way. She was kind of mixing. And so when she would go forth in the dance, she began to recognize that her gifts were kind of intermingled with maybe that move she did in the club, right? So, and she realized, wait a minute, I can't, you know, she had heard us preach it, she had heard us teach it, but it took that moment with a revelation between her and Holy Spirit to say, do you see why you can't, you know, be at the club on Saturday and try to minister in the church on Sunday, you know? And she told me, she said, you know, I saw everybody else doing it. I thought it was okay. She said, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit just, he did it in a loving way, but he just began to speak to me and tell me, look, this is not, this can't happen, you know? And that was life-changing for her. And I honestly can tell you, she's living that thing out. I mean, she's living on fire for God. But we still have to preach it and teach it. You know what I mean? Yeah. In some circles, holiness has become a curse word. And it's not, we're not talking about oppression. We're not talking about cults. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about requirements of the kingdom. And I want to address Prophetess on that because I know she does a lot of teaching. I know she does a lot of training. I'm waiting on the multiple locations of schools and all that stuff coming from y'all because it's coming.
<Thank God.
laughs> But you know, do you find that it's difficult? In today's everything goes mentality, to really drive home the fact that, look, the worshipers, we represent the Levites. right? We represent that priesthood. We represent those who held the vessels and ministered before God and interceded for the people of God. I mean, we were in the presence, that Ruach HaKodesh of God, to be able to express that in a way that is tangible and palatable and for people to understand that this is the place that you stand when you minister. Have you found any difficulties in that, or have you found ways that are very what we would call best practices, I guess, in teaching and training to that?
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the things I always, when I begin to teach, one of the important things is I talk about seeking and the desire, because I'll have give me someone who has no experience, no skill, like myself. I had no dance skill. But there was a desire in me when I was seeking the worship. I don't know, just desire that came over me to want to dance. I had no skills. I didn't take any ballet. I've never took ballet, modern, any of those. But that desire came upon me, and the Holy Spirit began teaching me. I got some foundation. I did go to training. I did understand about, you know, the garments, and I understand about what to wear and what not to wear. No, the foundation was important. But I was looking at this verse that you were talking, that, you know, I want to answer your question, Prophet, is yes, you do. You get individuals who want to come and be part of a ministry because it's like an activity versus really a ministry. And there's a difference. I've been in activities. I play sports. I've been in different activities, and it's seasonal. When I play sports during this month or that month, and then I'm done. And that's sometimes the mindset where people come in and they want to learn. They want to, I just want to do this for this time, and then that's it. And I've seen it. And I was looking at some old videos of this dance ministry team that I used to lead, and I said, where is everybody at? No one's dancing anymore. And I went back to the scripture in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present, and I'm not sure what version it is, to spontaneously establish and willing give yourself, your body, the living sacrifice, first fruit, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I use that scripture a lot when we, you know, when I teach, and when we, obviously we teach the word of God and we have conversation and dialogue. Sometimes dancers don't have that full understanding. The conformity is still there. They want to conform to other things and not really have that understanding about that relationship. And a second thing that I teach them is that they say, well, where did you learn how to move? Your moves look choreographed. And I don't choreograph my movements. It's what you see is the relationship. It releases relationship is what it releases. That's what the prophetic does. It releases what the relationship is. And so, there are challenges. This is why when I teach, I've had people have asked me, you know, well, I got these young girls, these little girls who want to teach. This is why it's a challenge for me. That's just not my area of strength, is to teach. Not that they're, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old girls don't want to dance, can't dance. That's just not my area. I want someone who just has a desire. It's do you have a desire to move, to dance, and to God? Is your desire there? Not do you have the skill, have you had years of modern dance, years of ballet, but is your desire, is your heart desire there? And so that's what I, you know, when I teach and what I see, that's the foundation that I use called seeking. I was reading something that I had in my in my notes. It says, whatever you are seeking after, you will worship. And so we talk a lot about seek, you know, what are you seeking? Because if they says, well, I'm seeking A, B, and C, you know, it's really what I want, well, that's what you're probably worshiping. And so, you know, these are just conversations and dialogues that I have with dancers. And then once we get that, you know, the understanding what seeking and desire is, the kingdom of God, the what they have in regards to movement, and then we can really move in worship. And so I hope I'm answering your question, because y'all asking some loaded questions tonight, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. I mean, they are loaded. Okay. Did it answer your question? Did it kind of?
It answered. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. There is a scripture that I want to read. This is in the Message Bible, and you were talking about what do you tell those who are new believers, maybe even someone who's new into the dance ministry, they're not sure what they want to do in the creative arts. This is out of the Message Bible. I read to you Romans 12:1. You probably heard this version, Prophetess. So in the Message Bible, it says, Romans 12:1, it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you could do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
That's good. That was good.
That is one of the, you know, and I don't always pull up the Message Bible all the time, but it was just something about that. I had to write that. It was something about that specific scripture, how it was interpreted from the Message Bible. And I just really loved how it said, you know, you'll be changed from the inside out. You know, and that's what he does. He starts with us on the inside. And I had to come to understand that, because that was challenging for me. You know, you're working with people, teaching people, and God had to say, look, let me work on them from the inside. You can't see them on the inside. You can't see what I'm doing on the inside. Let them work on, just like I worked on you. I worked on you from the inside, and then it brought it out. You know, came.
Yeah.
Then you could see how what he did in the inside of me, it showed from the outside. Does that make sense? So.
Absolutely. That was good. That was so good. Well, Apostle, do you have anything that you'd like to close out with? And, bless the people with. Also, if you guys can just let the people, give them your contact information and how they can connect and how they can give and all that good stuff.
Sure. I want to just offer some encouragement to everyone that's listening, whether they're new believers or even seasoned believers or matured believers, is that we have to understand that prophecy is for everybody. We all can prophesy, but we have to make sure we're staying and maintaining a place of being yielded to hear and to understand what God is saying. That's what I would like to offer, just to for them to be encouraged and let them know that God wants to speak to you directly. They can actually follow us on Facebook. They can, or what is it, follow on Facebook? At Brian L. Carroll, or they can like our page, Divine Communication on Facebook. They can also follow us on Twitter at Divine Communication, and also on Instagram, Divine Communication, with Prophetess Penny. You can follow her at Be Inspired Creativity, Be Inspired Creative Arts Academy. And those are the places where you can find us.
Amen. Amen. We are so blessed to have had you guys tonight, and we will definitely be bringing you back on. Our normal nights are Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and so I think that this was a real bonus because we're usually not here on the weekends, right? But even more, with everything that's happening, with everything that's happening in our country, and you know, be praying for the Buffalo region, the leaders. We will be mounting a defensive on tomorrow with prayer for the whole entire region, prayer and fasting. And so we, and not that we haven't been praying and fasting, but to be able to get leaders from all denominations to agree on a day, that was a miracle from God. Amen. So we are believing God for him to shift and to move some things. And we thank God in advance for whatever that looks like in his will. Also, we would like you to tell the people about your books. I heard something about a book.
Oh, sure.
I have several books and manuals. I have two manuals on the prophetic. One is called What Do You See? The other prophetic manual is called So You Call Yourself a Prophet. What Do You See? Is like a basic introduction to prophecy. And So You Call Yourself a Prophet is more challenging for the learner. It actually challenged them to discover if they are actually have the gift of the prophet, or do they just function in the gift of prophecy. So those are the two training manuals that happen in reference to the prophetic. I also have a book on dreams and visions called The Dream Factor, Invasions of the Night Demon. That book is a lot of wealth of knowledge. Actually, some of the things that we talked about on tonight's show, they're in the book, and they go into greater depths of it. I wrote the book to challenge the reader to actually seek God out first and stop going to these so-called prophetic interpreters and to social media and to their friends and family to actually challenge them to understand the communication from God first. And then I wrote one that's in publication right now, Sex Demons, Influence Over Your Mind, Your Will, and Your Emotions. That one was birthed out of the Dream Factor, because we oftentimes have a lot of influence in our dreams, and they are sexual, and we want to know, why am I having this dream? Where did it come from? Why did I dream about that person? So that book was birthed out of the Dream Factor, and it goes into great details. It's a book that I say would challenge a person where they are, and I would put caution on it as well if they have not been in a place where they can accept who they are and receive deliverance. I would advise them to read it with caution.
Amen.
Those are the books that we have.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I know I'll be picking up a copy or two. Where can they pick, and now do they have, where can they get your books at?
If they, they can inbox me on Facebook.
Okay.
And you inbox me on Facebook and I'll send them a copy. Or they can actually go to Amazon and find it on Amazon as well.
Okay. Okay, that's perfect. That's perfect. Prophetess, do you have any anything that you would like the people to be able to receive from you?
Well, I'm working on a manual right now. I'm getting some things together with that. And I have some other. I want to use the word virtual, but I will be offering some virtual classes here coming up shortly. So I'm getting kind of a platform together for that. And I'm available to mentor and to coach. And so did you give me the I can be found. I was asking Brian if he gave them my Be Inspired to Creative Arts Academy. I can be found on Be Inspired Creative Arts Academy on Facebook. Is the Creative Arts Academy, and that's how I can be reached.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you both for coming.
Thank you so much. We truly appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you for having us. We are honored. Honored. Yeah. Such an honor.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we will definitely be calling again very soon. We just, like I said, we just honor the gifts that God has placed in your lives, and we truly believe in what God is doing through you guys. You know, we are in a dynamic season, and I know people are in where they're at, but I have a full understanding that, man, God is opening up doors. God is, he is revealing things and he is changing things all around us. And I, you know, one of the things I always use is the word multifaceted. Like he's doing multifaceted things in a very quick way. And so I thank God that he has prepared us for this season, for such a time as this. And he is going to be using you guys in such a way that it is going to refinish. That's a good word. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Refinish the platforms that you're standing on at this point. It's because the Lord is showing me like a platform, but the wood is kind of old and, you know, there's some splinters and he's coming in and he's buffering and he's refinishing and it's like getting all new hardwood floors, you know? So, and so we thank God for him refinishing the platforms and creating newness out of these refinished platforms for you. It's going to be really good.
Thank God.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, so Apostle Brian. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought I had interrupted. I'm so sorry. I was going to ask Apostle Brian if he would pray us out, and we'll get ready to dismiss the line.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight's program, God. We thank you for the host, Apostle Smith and Prophetess Smith, God, for opening up the door for us to come on and teach and minister. God, we thank you for the release of the information. God, we thank you for the hearers, God, especially for the hearers, God. We thank you, hallelujah, for them, God. We thank you for opening doors for them. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for revelation for them. God, we thank you that they understand and hear your voice clearly, God, that they won't seek out another voice, Father, We thank you, hallelujah, for what you're doing in their lives, God. We thank you, hallelujah, for revealing yourself even more, even in the midst of what's going on and occurring this, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for open doors of job opportunities, Father. We thank you, God, for finances coming, God. We thank you, God, hallelujah, for stability, God. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you, God, and we take authority, God, over depression and oppression, God, and stress and fear and doubt. God, we take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus, and we release peace, God. We release your love. We release your strength, God. We release your courage, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And God, again, God, we thank you for the host, God. We thank you for lifting them up, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for what you're doing in their life, God. We thank you that they are doers of your word. We thank you that they hear your voice clearly, God. We thank you, hallelujah, for their testimony and for the anointing that's upon their life, God. We thank you, hallelujah, for the visions and the dreams that you're giving them, God, for the strategies that you're releasing upon them even now, Father. We thank you, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God, we thank you. So Apostle Smith and Prophetess Smith, as I was praying for you, I began to see that God is doing something with your vision, and this is not going to be a normal vision, but it's going to affect your normal vision, if you could understand that. It's like a refreshing. It's a discernment where you're being even matured greater to discernment, and this is something that's awesome and great. And I'm seeing that you guys are seeing if you're not seeing it, you're going to see a path, and this path is going to lead and direct. Show you and direct you to exactly where God wants you to go, where he wants you to be. And that's in the area of ministry, not just ministry, but that's in the area of health too. That's in the area of your marriage, in the area of your children, and even in setting off funds for college. There's a path that God is going to show you and direct you to, and you guys are going to see it clearly. There's not going to be a, no, I think God is sending us this way, or he's not going to say, no, this is the way. You both are going to be on the same page, the same path, and see the same direction. This is what I'm seeing, how God is leading you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we are so blessed to have had you. We receive every word that the Lord has just released through you, and it is confirmation and revelation all at the same time. We are definitely in a season where the Lord has been really streamlining, helping us to be more discerning, and also building on that and being able to, I'm looking for the right words, to be able to operate in a way that is not only excellent, but it's not a free-for-all. I guess that's the only word I can think about it, is the Lord has given us more discernment in what we do and what we do and who we do it with and all of this good stuff. So we are definitely thanking the Lord for his maturing in this season, absolutely. So thank you, Jesus. Okay. Well, we thank God for both of you. And you already know we will be in touch. I thank God for those of you who are listening in and will be listening to the broadcast later. We thank God for those of you who are supporting the Prophetic Sound podcast, and we are giving God praise for that. We will be back on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will be back on with Apostle Michelle King out of Mississippi. And so we thank God for the woman of God coming on and going to share what God has put on her heart. And really we are witnessing God giving us his word for, just right hot off the press through all of these servants of God. And we are so honored and so blessed to be able to host these anointings here on this platform. If you would like to connect with Prophetic Wind Ministries, you can email us at propheticwindministries@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, on facebook.com/propheticwindministries. And if you have would like to sow, you can sow at paypal.me/propheticwind, or you can sow on Cash App under $ Letitia, LATSHIA, Gartner, GARDNER, Smith, SMITH. We thank God for each and every one of you. We look forward to seeing you again on Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And at this time, we are going to dismiss the line. God bless you and good night.